I had pressed it before, now we can hear me. There we go. So last week we began a series in the Holy Spirit, delving into the Holy Spirit, because as probably many of you feel, as I have, not only in the church in general, but even in my own life, that I really didn't know enough about the Holy Spirit, and I didn't recognize how important the Holy Spirit is in my life. As a matter of fact, I knew some of the workings of the Holy Spirit, but what does that mean to me in an everyday rubber meets the road kind of Christianity? Now, as I mentioned, some Christians have taken their study of the Holy Spirit and built it up, and everything is about the Holy Spirit, and so they're way over here on the pendulum. And other Christians, too often, you know, the evangelicals like Baptists and AGCs, we sometimes have put the Holy Spirit way over here. We know He is the third person in the Godhead, but we don't pay very much attention to Him on a daily basis. We love Him. We know enough to get by, sort of thing. But we don't realize how integral He is to the everyday rubber meets the road walk with Christ. And so I want to spend the next few weeks just talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we looked at John chapter 14, and if you get your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. We're going to go there for one more week at least, and we're looking at, as last week we began with, who is this Holy Spirit? Who is He? Today, I want to look at a couple more questions answered. How does the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ relate to each other? What's that relationship like? And what will the Spirit, Holy Spirit, do when He comes? Because that's the question that the disciples had, because this is the upper room discourse. This is a time where the disciples are a little bit concerned, well, a lot concerned about their lives. Let's begin by reading John 14, beginning in verse 18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Some of your versions may say desolate. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And those famous words, let not your hearts be troubled, let them not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So last week we discovered that Jesus knew his trembling, fearful disciples, because he'd been warning them. He'd been giving them some clues that something big was going to happen, that he was going to have to die, and he would have to leave. And they were frightful. They'd spent all their 3.5 years with him. Can you imagine that without Christ, after 3.5 years, you'd be all on your own? What will life look like? What will life be like? And he tells these dear men, he says, I will be with you in the presence, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you. I will not leave you orphans or desolate. Or maybe better put, abandoned. Do you ever see a child in a big store, off on their own, little child, crying? They're lost. They can't find their mummy. You know? And you can see it on their face. They're just absolutely frightful. And you can go up to them and you can comfort them a little bit. And they may calm down a little bit, but they're still not calm. Because inside there is turmoil. Where is my mummy? Where is my daddy? And that's that desolate, deserted feeling that these men were feeling at this point. Why do you have to go away? The one they had learned to love and trust and lean on was leaving them. And so Jesus makes a promise. And I love the promises of God. And you can go through the entire scriptures and see very clear promises of God. And here is one from God, who is Jesus. And he says, I'm going to give you a promise. That when I leave, God the Holy Spirit will come. And he will dwell with you. He will become an indwelling presence of God in your life. And with that promise, Jesus really makes and declares some very significant and important truths that I want us this morning to contemplate on, to just sort of delve into and chew on and see how important they are to us for our everyday walk. The first important truth is, how will the Holy Spirit relate to Jesus, Jesus to the Holy Spirit? We know the real mark of a Holy Spirit life-filled life, don't we? Do you know what the real mark of a Holy Spirit-filled life is? Some of you might be thinking, maybe it's signs, maybe it's wonders, maybe it's the ability to speak in tongues. Fruits of the Spirit, yeah. No, those aren't really the initial mark of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It tells us right here. It's an ever-deepening consciousness of the reality of Jesus. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while when the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The most verifiable sign of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of an individual is the indwelling presence of the Spirit, who speaks of the power and the person of Jesus. It says, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. They will recognize the Spirit of Christ in themselves because of the presence of the Spirit. He's of course referencing to the fact that he's leaving, and they will see him in the post-resurrection experience, no doubt. But more importantly, Jesus is communicating powerful truth to these men. You will continue to see me by means of the Spirit. You will know me richly, more deeply, and more intently and intensely after that day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God has entered into you. The Holy Spirit has come into you. And people will see that. People will see Jesus in you. And they will see Jesus in us by, yes, Zach, the fruit of the Spirit. That will come out of that internal dwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, in us. Without that, it's impossible to truly live out the depth of a life in Christ. It's impossible. And that's why Jesus can say at the end of Matthew, you know, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, now listen, here it is. I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus saying, I'm leaving, but I'm going to be with you always. And how is that going to happen? The Holy Spirit, God himself, will dwell within you. So the Spirit of God is really the one who makes Jesus even more real than the presence of Jesus. Now Jesus is not an external agent of God as an external agent. He is now God as an internal agent working in your life. That's how Jesus and the Holy Spirit relate to each other. That's important to know, especially if you're a new Christian. Got to know that. Number two, truth number two. With this presence of the Holy Spirit, there's a brand new power, a vitality that will come by that presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus states, because I live, you will live also. Maybe you've experienced that and remember that experience as a new believer. How life just seemed to change dramatically. You started to see life in a different light. You started to experience life differently. You know, I thought about thrill seekers, those who are people who are constantly looking for that adrenaline rush. They jump off of bridges with bungee cords attached, and they bounce around, and for a second, they get that rush. It's good. There are people who love to drive fast. Right, Steve? New cars, you just want to drive really fast. But you would never do that in your nice new car. Adrenaline comes in a lot of ways. The best adrenaline ever is the adrenaline that comes by a new experience of knowing God by Him living within you. That's called new birth. And it's something that never leaves. But it also is a life that gives us purpose. You know, the world around us who are without Christ, they are living out what they think is a purpose-filled life. But in the end, everything a person does who is not a Christian is going to burn up in the end because it has no eternal value. But when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit ignites a real and deep and abiding presence of God in your life, of Christ in your life. Because I live, you will live also. And that word live is rich. It's not just go through life. It's live a life that's full and purpose-filled. Truth number three is there is now the life-giving presence of the Lord through the presence of the Spirit of God. This is very important. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit, and so everything this Holy Spirit does within us is to point us to the life of Christ. In that day, it says, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Simplest and most profound truth is being expressed here. You in me, and I in you. It's hard for us to imagine what that really means. Our first immediate experience is one of faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We knew at a point in our life that our sin was keeping us from a real eternal relationship with God. We knew that. We'd come to discover that. That's actually the Holy Spirit that enlightens anyone who comes to Christ. He enlightens them to know they're lost and without hope. And so therefore, with that knowledge and then the faith that comes by the Holy Spirit working in a life, we are transformed into new creatures in Christ, given that new life, new power, new purpose in our lives. But the second and instantaneous thing that happens is that now God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And because the Holy Spirit is in Jesus, Jesus is in the Holy Spirit, Christ, His Spirit, Christ dwells within us. What a marvelous truth that Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit living within us. Contemplate that truth today. You know, as I did, I just realized, we learn that we're not required to demonstrate how much we can do for God. But now with this knowledge, it's how much He can do in and through us. There are a lot of Christians out there, and even maybe one or two in this room, who've done a lot of things for God over the years because they thought that that would bring them into a better standing with God, that God would put up those gold stars, and you're hoping one day to look and you see the big board, you know, in school. Remember in school, and all the names, and if you did certain good things, you'd get a gold star. I didn't have many gold stars, just the way it was. I had a couple, but there's always a few people who had tons of gold stars, and they would walk around going, "Hey, look at me, those are mine." But you know what? Christians do this too. They think if I do more for God, They'll get these gold stars. And God is pleased when the heart is right in our doing. But he is more interested in what he will do in us. If we will let him do in us a work, and out of that doing in us, we do for him because we love him and we want to worship him in our doing. Not to get a gold star, but to put the emphasis and the view on him. What a marvelous truth. Things of eternal value are accomplished when we recognize our powerlessness apart from the Holy Spirit's work first in us and then through us. Are you every day thinking, how can I be used by God to do something that has eternal value? When you wake up in the morning, that should be on each one of our lips. God, use me, work in me, and then use me so that today you can see something of eternal value accomplished for you and your glory. And Jesus' desire is to continue his work that he did with those disciples through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Truth number four. And this is a repeat. And you know when anything is repeated in the scriptures, you should pick up and just highlight it. Truth number four is loving obedience is the key to progressive intimacy with him. Do you want to get close to God? Do you want to get close to Christ? Close to the Holy Spirit? And learn to love them more and more each day. The burning passion of every true follower of Christ, every true believer, should be that you want to know Christ better and better, more richly, more deeply, every single day. Falling in love with God deeper every day. We should never, ever be satisfied with the depth of our relationship with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. When we feel like things are pretty good, we should say, that's not good enough. I want more of Jesus. I want more of the Father. I want more of the Holy Spirit and their work in my life. That's what we need to know about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, want to hear that message? Go online and you can hear last week's message, and that will help. How does Christ relate to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit relate to Christ? Well, here's some wonderful truths. Final word for today is, what the Spirit will do when he comes? What will the Spirit do when he comes? Verses 25 through 27 talk about what the Spirit will do when he comes. He says, these things have I spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, isn't that interesting, that phrase? He'll send him, the Holy Spirit, in my name. Really, the Holy Spirit is ambassador of God. Isn't that what happens here on earth? When Canada sends a representative for us, on behalf of us, to another country, to another place, it's an ambassadorship. And Jesus wanted himself represented well, perfectly. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's work is to make known the glory, the power, the purpose of who Christ was and why he came. And that's what he does in us, and that's what he does through us. As Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit then sends us to be his ambassadors. The ambassadors of hope. You know, Kath mentioned this morning, it's been a rough week. Some terrible, terrible things have happened. And next week, guess what? Some terrible, terrible things will happen. And they will continue to happen week after week after week until one day when the kingdom has finally come and Christ sits on the throne here and the devil is put in his place for eternity. Those things will happen over and over. But until then, we have to still be ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors of the message of hope that even though in the midst of these terrible, terrible things, this world that is lost, this world that has now Satan being the one who is calling the shots, we can be ambassadors of hope and purpose and new life. did you forget? Or did you maybe not even know? You're ambassadors. You know, some of us are young ambassadors. Some of us, and I will try not to look at anybody, are pretty old ambassadors. Yet we're all ambassadors. I pray this morning, as you think about the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, God who you take everywhere you go, and He does everything you do, you won't forget that He is an ambassador for Christ, the one who saved you, the one who took the pain and the place that you should have been, that I should have been in, where we should have died. He took our place. And now the Holy Spirit is His ambassador, and we are the ambassador of Christ and the Holy Spirit. In my name. What will He do? Verse 26, He'll teach you all things. What a comfort this is. Now for them, a direct reference is that they were going to have to start to teach about Jesus, and He knew what they were concerned about. Will we remember everything? Will we get it right as we teach Him? And the Scripture is so clear. He says here that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will bring to remembrance everything I've said to you. That's what the Holy Spirit, as the ambassador of Christ, is going to do. He's going to help every one of those disciples as they go out to the four corners of the world to remember everything they need to in order to properly be ambassadors for Christ. And so they wrote down what Christ taught them. And just as in the Old Testament, the prophets wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit that moved them along. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Here, the Holy Spirit is moving these men to write the Scriptures so that we know you can be absolutely assured what we have in the Old and New Testament, the Scriptures, all of them are the Scriptures, are the faithful Word of God that is true. And it is so true that we don't look at it and say, well, you know, they're good words and maybe they are the general ideas of God, but are they really God's word? Answer is, they're really God's word. We can trust every single word that's in here because God protected it. He protected it beginning by giving it to men and having the Holy Spirit bring everything to their remembrance. That's awesome. So He says, sending the Spirit is coming in my name. He would teach you all things so that you know that the words that the apostles wrote down are sure, that then we can be sure as we teach and tell others of Christ's work. And the last thing here I want you to notice, He says something about peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It's interesting. Most of us in this room have experienced times of great fear, anxiety, great difficulty. Life circumstances has hit most of us at one point or time in our life. And if it hasn't, it will. And Jesus knew that. And He knew that the Helper would come and He would do these things, but He would also be the one who would give you peace in the midst of very difficult, even dangerous, life-threatening circumstances. Paul knew this all so well. As he went out and he shared the words of God, he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, may share in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. Power. He wanted the power of Christ in His life. Why? Because without that, there would be no peace. And here we see, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is, verse 21, who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Sorry. How do you do that? You put it in the wrong page. It wasn't making sense to me as I was speaking. By the way, there it is. Even though Paul's words are good, they're not the words that I was supposed to say. peace. Think of Jesus as he stood before Pilate, as he stood before Herod, all of those men who wanted to kill him. Normally, you and I would go, I am totally frightened. But Jesus was at perfect peace. What does the word peace mean? Zach, you gave me a good definition for one thing. What about peace? What would you say peace means? Rudy, you got his hand up. Everything is okay. Okay. Hey, I like that. Nothing can shake me. I'm going to add that to my notes. Zach.
The lack of necessity for striving.
Good one. Both of you. I'll take notes and add those here. How about I add my point here to the two good ones? We'll add a third point. Peace is, or equals, simply this. The ability to cope. When you get in a situation where the world around you is falling apart, those without Christ too often fall apart with that world around them. You see that often when somebody passes, somebody close, and they just fall apart. In a lot of parts of the world, all you hear is wailing. A wailing because there's no hope. But have you been in a place where you've watched a Christian go through some deep and dark waters? Maybe it's they've come to know that they've got cancer, or they've lost a loved one, or an accident has happened and great physical harm has happened, but they're peaceful. There's a steadiness there. They're unshakable. Because they found their place. They found their power. They found it in a person that dwells within them, that helps them to cope in light of the awfulness that they're going through. How critical is this for us to grasp as a truth? A lot of the world will go out there, and when things are going bad, they pop pills. They tranquilize their fear. They do the best to find a peace through chemicals. Others, through escapism. They watch movies and movies and movies. They find joy in those because that's where they escape from the reality of this world. Or they hide away from the world. They never go out unless they absolutely have to. But trouble is always there. It's there when they return from the world, and it's there even while they're escaping from the world. Peace. So the Holy Spirit, his role is very simple. To make Jesus known, he became an ambassador. In us and through us. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance what we need to know. As we study the Word of God, we know it's true. And as we seek to clearly be an ambassador of the Word of God in Christ, he brings that to our remembrance as well. So I would encourage you, make sure that you have scripture memory as a part of your daily routine. And then throughout life, he brings peace. When will the Spirit come? The Spirit came at Pentecost in a unique and special way. That was when it was an opportunity for God to say, for Christ to say, something new has happened. I've died, I am now with the Father, and now the Spirit will be with you, and he's going to work in and through you, and you're going to do marvelous things, more marvelous than you've seen before. And Christ says, I'll come back one day. The devil will be conquered, and my presence will be with you in fullness once again. But until then, you're not alone. You're not on your own. And I think, if anything, for you today, to recognize the presence of the Spirit of Christ in your daily walk will start to affect it more deeply, and you'll be used more impactfully. This is my prayer for me and for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that in it we find all that we need for daily living. A life that is a life that makes a difference for eternity. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to recognize that the person of the Holy Spirit lives within us, the ambassador for Christ, the Spirit of Christ lives within all those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. May we learn a little bit more today and relate a little bit better to him as we live out our lives with the one purpose, to keep in step with the Spirit, to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.